Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at a case, and it's one of those cases that I think, gives us a pretty good shortcut to thinking about, some of the real complexities of racial discrimination and the legal battles against it.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And specifically, what we're looking at today is an 1870 Illinois Supreme Court case. So obviously predates a lot of the federal law on this topic. But it's a case called Chicago and Northwestern Railway Co. Davey Williams. Again, as you said, it's really interesting because it predates Plessy, the sort of infamous Plessy v. Ferguson separate but equal case. But it really gets at this question of segregation in public accommodations, which is sort of the fundamental issue of the post-Reconstruction era, and really comes down to this question of who gets to decide what's reasonable discrimination.
Yeah, and that's a question that obviously we're still debating today in many ways. So I think it's going to be fascinating to kind of look at this case and see, how they were thinking about it back then, and what are some of the arguments that were being made, and see, how that maybe, gives us some insights into how we think about it today. So our mission, if you will, today is to unpack the facts of this case, understand, how the Illinois Supreme Court reasoned through it, and then kind of think about the lasting impact of this early challenge to racial discrimination based on what we see in the case.
Yeah, sounds good.
So why don't we start by kind of laying the groundwork here? So what are the basic facts of the case?
Yeah, so the plaintiff in the case is a black woman who was residing in Rockford, Illinois, and she bought a first-class ticket for passage on the Chicago and Northwestern Railway.
Okay, so she has her ticket. She's, ready to ride
Exactly.
and behaving appropriately, it sounds like.
That's right. Yeah, she's doing everything right.
Okay.
And yet she was denied entry to the car designated as the lady's car.
Yeah.
And, importantly, there were available seats. This wasn't a case of, the car being full.
Right. So it's not like they were saying, "Oh, well, there's no room for you."
Exactly.
And so what was the railroad's justification for this?
yeah so the railroad argued that there was no written rule prohibiting her from entering the lady's car, and that this was really based on custom.
Yeah.
That it was just sort of the custom in that time and place that black women would not ride in the lady's car.
Okay, so no official rule book,
No.
just that's how things were done.
Right.
And did they offer her any alternative accommodations?
So they did not offer her any other seating in a car designated for women. Instead, she was directed to a mixed gender car, that didn't have that ladies only designation.
Yeah.
And actually, if we look at the case, we even have a direct quote from the brakeman who was involved in the incident. And he said to her, "You can't ride in here. This is for white ladies."
Wow. So, very, very explicit in terms of, what the reason for the exclusion was.
Yes.
And as you said, the railroad themselves acknowledged that they didn't actually have a rule to support this.
That's right.
So essentially we have, a black woman who purchased a first class ticket is denied access to the lady's car because of her race. And the railroad can't point to any written rule to justify it.
That's right.
So this leads us to, the central legal question that the Illinois Supreme Court had to grapple with.
Yeah, and that question is, can a railroad company exclude a passenger from a car, simply because of their race,
Yeah.
in the absence of a reasonable rule?
Okay.
And the majority opinion in this case was written by Justice Scott. And he basically, laid out this principle that railroad companies can make rules, for the safety and comfort of their passengers, but that those rules have to be reasonable and that
Okay.
they have to be applied uniformly and importantly, that they can't be discriminatory.
Okay, so they can't just, arbitrarily decide to exclude someone based on, some characteristics like race.
Right. And the court really emphasized this point. They said, and it's a direct quote from the opinion, "A railroad company cannot capriciously discriminate between passengers on account of color."
Okay, so pretty clear statement there.
Yeah, very clear.
And so what was the ultimate outcome of the case?
So the court found in favor of the plaintiff. They found that the railroad had unlawfully discriminated against her, and they upheld the damages that had been awarded to her by the lower court.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because the court really, seemed to acknowledge the indignity of the way that she was treated.
Right. So it wasn't just about you know, the denial of service. It was also about the way in which it was done.
Right.
And I know that there was a dissenting opinion in this case. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Justice Breese dissented from the majority opinion. He disagreed with the reasoning, and he also thought that the damages were excessive.
Okay. So he wasn't necessarily saying that discrimination was okay, but he just thought that the penalty was too high.
Yeah, that seems to be the main thrust of his argument.
Okay.
And I think it's important to note that, you know, even in a case like this where you have a, you know, relatively progressive ruling, you know, for its time, there's still this pushback.
Right.
You know, there's still disagreement about, you know, what constitutes justice and fairness.
Right.
And how to remedy these kinds of wrongs.
Okay, so let's kind of take a step back now and think about, you know, what are some of the broader legal concepts that are at play here, and you know, what's the lasting significance of this case?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key concepts is this idea of a reasonableness standard. You know, yeah. that the court really emphasized that railroad companies can't just make up any rule they want.
Right.
You know, that it's not up to the railroad company to decide what's reasonable.
Right.
It's up to the court.
Right.
And so that's a really important limitation on corporate power.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's something that we still see today. You know, this tension between corporate autonomy and you know, the rights of individuals.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, even though this is, you know, a state court decision and it predates a lot of the, you know, the federal civil rights law, it really seems to be an early precedent for challenging, you know, what we might call de facto segregation.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, the court really made it clear that custom, you know, just because something has been done a certain way for a long time doesn't make it okay. You know, they said that an unreasonable rule affecting passenger comfort is unlawful because it's unreasonable.
Right.
And that's really important because, you know, saying that you can't just rely on custom or tradition to justify discrimination.
Right.
You have to have a legitimate reason.
Okay. So thinking about, you know, law students today, you know, why should they care about this case? You know, what are the key takeaways?
Well, I think, first of all, it shows how these issues were being debated, mm-hmm. you know, even before the big federal civil rights cases that, mm-hmm. that you know, most law students study.
Right.
And it shows that these were real issues,
yeah.
you know, that people were grappling with.
Yeah.
And I think it also shows, you know, the power of the courts to step in and say, you know what, this isn't right.
Right.
You know, this is discrimination.
Yeah.
And we're not going to allow it.
And that, you know, you can't just hide behind customer tradition. So you know, kind of to bring this to a close, I guess the question that this case really raises is, you know, who gets to decide what's reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, that's $1 million question, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I think this case showed that it's not the discriminator,
right?
You know, it's the courts,
right? And you know, I think that's something that's really important to remember today. You know, when we think about, you know, all the different areas where this question comes up.
Right.
You know, whether it's, you know, in businesses or in schools or, you know, wherever.
Right.
You know, it's ultimately up to the courts to decide what's reasonable and what's not.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we leave this case, you know, I would just encourage our listeners to think about, you know, how this seemingly, you know, kind of small case, you know, from the 1870s, really laid the groundwork for so many of the bigger civil rights battles that were to come.
Yeah.
You know, and to think about, you know, how that question of reasonableness, you know, continues to be debated today.
Right.
You know, and how that affects, you know, equality and access for everyone.
Yeah, and how, you know, even these early cases, you know, can really help us understand, you know, the long history of these struggles,
right? And the progress that's been made, and also the work that still needs to be done.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today for this deep dive. This has been a really fascinating conversation.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
And to all of our listeners out there, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.